Welcome to Adoration. This is Mac, and once again, I'm just so excited to be able to share the Word of God with you. You know, each month, I just look at this ministry opportunity as a blessing, as an opportunity to share Jesus Christ with you. And for some of you, you probably are even more in touch with Christ than even I am. For some of you, it's like a great refresher message in some of the things that I share. But I also realize that for some of you, this might be the first time, the first taste that you might get of the gospel. And I'm just honored that God would use me in order to be the introduction to a wonderfully beautiful experience. So not to prolong anything, tonight I'm actually sharing an excerpt that I do with my wonderful, beautiful wife, Myra. And for those of you that have really been connected with me for a while, you know that I very seldom call her by her first name, because in our house, we refer to her in Spanish as Galleta de Azúcar, and in English, that simply means she is my sugar cookie. And so, if you hear some of that during portions of what I'm sharing in this message that's coming out of Romans 12, verses 1 through 3, just know that I am referring to her. Now, sit back, enjoy, and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your hearts through this message. Amen.
So I'm not going to be before you guys long. I was just reflecting on a scripture. I'm trying to cheat and look at my phone. Most of this I can quote. But my darling wife also said something about transformation. And that is a critical word for me, because we live in a society right now where everybody's talking about evolving. And I'm like, okay, evolving. And in the true sense of evolving, which is why Darwin is totally incorrect, is that, you know, we normally go right to the prehistoric creatures of so long, long, long time ago. And the thing about the evolution as far as the prehistoric animals are concerned is that as one species died off, they evolved into another species, and the former is no longer. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I don't really like to use that word evolve, because even in our transformation, the essence of who we are is who we are. So I don't evolve in my way of thinking. I don't evolve in the way I look. I don't evolve in the way I, you know, worship. No, everything is about transformation. And Paul discusses this in Romans 12. And we've probably read this a million times. I'm not even saying that I have anything new to add. It's just where the Lord has me today. So I'm going to be obedient and just read this for you. I'm just going to read till he tells me to stop. So it says, Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, and that is H-O-L-Y, then acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, honestly, my love, I could really just stay right there in that one verse, because we speed read through these things sometimes, and really, there's a lot going on in that one verse. It's Paul, when he uses the word beseech, I mean, it's like a beg, it's like, please, please. It's not just a statement, it's like, come on, guys. Mm-hmm. By the mercies of God. And I think sometimes we just look light of his mercies. But you don't always know when his mercies have actually been activated, because there are things that we might not even know that we're guilty of, but his mercy endureth forever. There are things that we do know that we're doing wrong, and we may not even have an opportunity to ask for forgiveness, but his mercy endureth forever. We sometimes take God for granted because we know we're saved. We know we believe. Like there's no doubt. You know, I know my Jesus. But, you know, if we sin and fall short of the glory, which we do daily, then his mercies are new, as the scripture says, every morning. Great is his faithfulness. So when Paul is literally begging the church of Rome and whoever's in there, I beseech you guys, listen to me. By the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. So what does that mean? You know, because most of the time when we refer to a sacrifice, that means that we have to literally die in the flesh. Okay? And, you know, for some, because my wife is a proponent of reading the voice of the martyrs, you know, as missionaries. I think that everybody should read that, because it will humble you about what's happening out here on the mission field in areas of the world that Christianity, a.k.a. Jesus Christ, is not welcome. Okay? And those stories are humbling to show that there are those out there that willfully and knowingly will die for the cause of Christ. But here, it's not saying that we die physically. Right. It's saying to be living sacrifices. And I was thinking about the song, and I don't know why we don't sing it with our seniors when we're ministering to them, but it's a song that says, we bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord as we offer unto him the sacrifices of thanksgiving, as we offer up to him the sacrifice of praise. What is the sacrifice of praise? What is being a living sacrifice? And I'm not going to answer that right now, because these verses actually will answer that question. So that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. And the first word after that, galletta de azúcar, for you guys who don't know what that means, that is sugar cookie, okay, in Spanish. But to be holy, holy. God is holy. And because God is holy, we can be holy. And how are we to become holy is to look to the one that he sent, mm-hmm. who is holy.
Amen.
So the more our lives model Jesus Christ, the more we are representing holiness. See, a lot of people think that it's about posturing, like about, oh, I'm going to look holy. I'm going to hold my hands. Oh, Lord, I love you. I love you and I praise you. No, no. Living holy is a lifestyle. It's about being cognizant that every time we walk out the door, in fact, don't even have to walk out of the door, even in our marriages and in our family situations, that we are always representing the one who is greater than we are. And so that should be kind of inspiration to really think things through in everything that we say and do. Yes, we will make mistakes. Yes, we will fall short. But then when we do those things, it is still holy because we grieve the things that we have done that were out of order and beg God, just as Paul is begging these people, mercy on me, O God, for I have fallen short of your expectations. That's what holiness is all about. It's not burning incense in some cathedral. It's about understanding that, you know, as Paul says, all things are lawful, but at the same time, all things are not expedient. There are things that we can do by the law of this world that will be allowed because we're adults, we're over a certain age, and we have permission to do these things, but to do them as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ would be to understand that we can't do certain things, or we can't necessarily act certain ways around certain people when the Holy Spirit has revealed that it would not be for their good health and will. And we need to discern these things, because that's all a part of being holy. But he says, not just holy, but then acceptable unto God. And I don't even know if people really consider that. What is it to be acceptable? I mean, we read these things, and you know, my wife would say, oh my gosh, she's going to say it again, but I'm going to say it again. You can speed read through these, but sometimes you need, just like when I'm in the kitchen, and I'm going to tell you all a quick story. I love roasting chicken.
Yes.
Okay. And my wife would tell you.
And I love eating it.
Yeah. Okay. But it literally takes 48 hours from the time of beginning the process in the preparation to when she can actually do that face again.
I love it.
There you go. All right. So what I'm trying to say is that for me, it's about, first of all, doing what I do, which is cut that chicken into what they call a butterfly, so that everything is spread open. And then comes the point of having to do what they call a brine. And a brine, the most simple brine, is just sugar and salt. Okay, now I do a lot more than I can share now. But what happens is that you put that salt and that water. Interesting enough, salt and sugar, okay? Mm-hmm. And you allow that brine to be heated,
mm-hmm.
okay? And even for me, it's boiling. Then you gotta let that thing sit and cool down. Because if you don't let it cool down all the way, then bacteria can get into your food. So you literally have to put it in the refrigerator for a few hours to really make sure that it is cool. Then, for those of us that really are cognizant of all the stuff that chickens have on them, we try to get those feathers off, we try to cut away all the grime and everything, and we rinse it. But then you even have to give the chicken about 30 to 45 minutes to air dry. And for those of us who really like to make sure the chicken is right, we have to take a lemon or lime and we wipe it down as, like, you know, disinfecting it. Okay, all of this before we even got the oven started. So then, after all of that, you take that chicken and you put it in the water. That's almost like a baptism. Okay. And what it does, beloved, is that salt and sugar, and of course I add a lot more than that, but that salt and sugar, it actually, now it does two things. It tenderizes the chicken, but it also makes sure that flavoring gets to the meat, not just the skin. And see, that's the secret, okay? So anyway, now for me, because I like to think that I'm almost a professional chef, it is then taking that chicken, putting it in the pot, and you know, sometimes the chicken might want to float up to the top. So sometimes you have to put a little small plate in there just to weigh it down so that it's totally submerged in the water. See, she's getting fascinated because I don't talk about this.
Because I saw that plate. I was like, why has he got... He's holding the chicken down.
Keeping the chicken down. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the chicken is being baptized. Now, for me, the chicken is being baptized for anywhere from 18 to 24 hours. Okay. So, basically, the next day. Okay. The chicken comes out. Again, you have to let it air dry. And you have to rinse the brine off. Okay. You want to clean that thing off. Make sure, again, the chicken is clean. And then, okay, you can season it with a rub or whatever your favorite seasonings are. We don't give out secrets of on this program, so you're not getting mine.
But in his kitchen.
Not in my kitchen. However, once you have that thing seasoned, you can put it in the oven uncovered because we're roasting, okay? And in about an hour, you're going to have some of the most incredible chicken on the planet.
Yes.
Okay. And but it's almost 2.5 days to get there. So why am I talking about recipes and all of that? It's because being holy and acceptable unto God is a process.
Ooh, amen.
I told you I could preach just this first verse. I told you. I don't know how much further I'm going to go. But that's why. Because look what the scripture says after that. It says, which is your reasonable.
Reasonable.
Okay, so that's not even the best, okay? So that's like me just using salt and sugar. Uh-huh. That's just the bare minimum. Mm. Okay? And so, guys, what God is saying here through Paul is that we need to slow down and really consider who God is.
Yes.
Okay. We think that the alarm clock is waking us up. We think maybe our spouse, our married legal spouse, is tapping us and waking us up. Mm-hmm. But it's God who allows us to see a new day. Mm-hmm. And then look what it says in verse 2, guys. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, not evolved, transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. I like this. This is one reason I like the King James for this. That we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So God, through Paul here, is answering what the acceptable service is. Because he's telling us in verse 2 that basically you need to put away your stinking thinking. Mm-hmm. Because when we are thinking in and of ourselves, when we are thinking just using logic and our intelligence, and Sugar Cookie and I, we talk about this a lot. Well, maybe I talk about it a lot and she listens. But, you know, God does not operate off of logic. Mm-hmm. God doesn't have to operate out of logic, because the mind of God is superior to logic. So I'm always fascinated, whether it's unbelievers or even believers, when we debate back and forth, whenever somebody is saying, well, that doesn't make sense. Well, does it make sense by whose standard? That's right. Okay, so God's standards and our standards are totally different. Totally different. And so the word is saying to not be conformed to this world, anything that is in this world. And I'm really going to put a marker here for a moment. So that means that if you're not conforming to this world will think that you're an idiot. Mm-hmm. They will think that you're, in quotation marks, special. Mm-hmm. They will think that you have literally lost your mind. And for those who I know are believers, and I believe everybody that's listening is, okay, I'm going to tell you right now, you do not share the visions that God has given you with worldly minds. They will never understand you. So don't even worry about it if they don't get you. They're not supposed to get you. God gets you. And that's all that matters. Mm-hmm. People who are truly connected in Christ, they will get you. Okay? So anyway, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Transformation. What's exciting about transformation is you look the same. Mm-hmm. You have the same basic characteristics, but those things that you were doing for the harm of the world, you switch them around and you do it for the benefit of the Lord and for the world. Amen. And that is what true transformation, just taking the words transformation, And understanding that it is a shift in the formation, okay? Not a total evolution definition of, well, it's discarded now and I'm this whole... That's not the way it's meant. We are a new creation, but we're a new creation that have the characteristics that God instilled with us before he even formed man.
That's right.
Okay? And so, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, Paul is giving you the steps. It starts with here. And the mind, and the commercials say, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Mm-hmm. It is, okay? But that mind, it's about being open to the incredible possibilities that God can present it.
Amen.
You know, one of the things that kind of scared me when I was younger is that I said, oh God, I just don't want to get older and get stuck. You know, I prayed more than anything else, like, God, please give me the ability to always be open to new things that you reveal to me. You know, so they're not new things to God, but they're new things to me.
Right.
And I want to make sure that I stay connected by being acceptable in his sight so that he can continue to reveal the wondrous and marvelous things that he has for us to do.
Amen.
And so what happens with this renewal of the mind? We get to prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So we prove it. Well, here's the thing. Who are we proving it to? God knows. So who are we proving it to? Guess what, guys? You. We're proving it to you. We're proving it to our neighbors. We're proving it to our communities. We're proving it to those who may never walk inside a church, but they will see the love of God and the holiness of God through us. And it's all by the transformation of our minds.
Amen.
And I think I'm going to cap off with this last part, verse 3. For I say, through grace given unto me, to every man, and we know that that's every man, woman, and child that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Oh my gosh, here's another one where it is just so much happening here. For I say through the grace given unto me. So Paul is at such a point in his relationship, in his transformation of mind, that even the things that aren't necessarily in the scriptures, but he gets to say them and they become part of the Holy Writ by grace. God has given him grace. Have you read in some of his writings where he says, not God, but I. And it's because God deemed him trustworthy to be able to speak some things. And so that's what we want. That's the area that we want to be in too, that we are in such communion with God that we can make proclamations. And we know that it has the blessing of God by his grace.
By his grace.
He says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. And that, my brothers, my sisters, that is so key, because sometimes we get so impressed by the things that we think we know that we realize we really don't know anything. And so in our conversations, you can start to check yourself by just saying, how many times do I say I and me? And that will give you an idea of where you might be in that. And it's so easy, guys, and I'm not even being funny with this. The world is programmed to make us gods. That's what the world is saying. Everything Everything outside of Christianity is about the God in you, or that, you know, you're part of the universe, and you know, you have to look within. You know, not look to God, but look within and get your inner strength, your inner being. And all these things are about you. And God is saying, that is not what I'm saying. Get out of the way so that I can actually pour into you what I want you to do, or what I want from you. This is one of the reasons why I don't go into things like yoga and some of those meditative type of programs, because they are mind manipulating you undercover. You can't have Christian yoga. I'm just going to say it. You can't have it, because if you are using the positions that are actually honoring a deity that is pagan, you can't do it and serve a holy God. I know I'm stepping on feet here, but you know, as for me and our house here, we choose to just allow God to teach us, and some of these things that He teaches us, they are really hard lessons, because my gosh, there are benefits that come through certain positions. But if those positions are glorifying someone other than Christ, I can't do them.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. So again, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Mm-hmm. And that's not just about not being high and not being a drunkard, but that's just meaning to just slow it down and just really consider, just like I'm doing here with these scriptures. I don't have anything written here, okay? But to just take these scriptures and to examine, what is God really saying to us? And He wants us to be sober-minded. So not too high, not too low, but right there. Okay? And He does this according as God have dealt to every man the measure of faith. And that's just saying, by whatever measure of faith that God has instilled in Sugar Cookie, in me, in any of you, is all the measure of faith you need in order to live a transformational life, a life that is good, acceptable, according to His will.
Our Father and our God, we thank you so much for the word, for you sharing through so many writers exactly what we need to know about you, about Jesus Christ, and even about us. Oh God, as we close out tonight, it is my prayer that all those who will listen to this broadcast will be able to glean something from it that will encourage them in their journey with you. And even to those, oh God, who may be hearing about Jesus Christ for the first time, we pray in the name of Christ Jesus that they would be convicted and inspired to join in with the rest of us as we shoot for eternity with you, to be present before you for the rest of our lives. Oh God, we thank you and we honor you, oh Lord. Be glorified in everything that we do. Be glorified in everything that we say. And oh God, humble us that we may be the children of you, and that Jesus Christ is promoted in everything that we do. We give you the glory, we give you the honor, and we give you the praise. In the name of Jesus, amen.